Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Bills Wire Bills Cast presented to you by USA Today SMG. My name is Matt Johnson, your host, and joining with me, he's back. He must be doing a pretty good job at being the co-host. But David, welcome back, buddy. How are you doing?
Doing good, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing well. Kind of a gloomy evening here in Bills land. It's rainy. It's very wet. It's a little chilly. And unfortunately, the second straight loss for these Buffalo Bills, who I thought played a little bit better tonight than they did against Tennessee last week. I think you and I are in agreement of that. We talked a little bit about before hitting the record button, but still just a dreary feeling. You know, this is a team that we didn't really think, you know, it was weird to think of this team losing two straight games. It's honestly weird thinking that for both squads tonight, but here we are. Bills 4-2 after two very, very strange weeks of scheduling. And that may have played a little bit into, I'm not sure, but it was just this Bills team just seemed night and day different these last 2 weeks than it had all season. What are your thoughts on everything?
Well, there were questions going into the game. You know, obviously the Chiefs had several games in a short time span. The Bills had that uncertainty involving the Titans. I will say this just, you know, before anything else, because there is a lot of really interesting stuff that, you know, was on the table going into this game. It looked almost as if last week's game had not happened, just in the sense that if you think about the team, the way that they looked over the first four games, this looked more like what that team would have looked like coming into this game in this matchup against the Chiefs. So that's reason for optimism. You know, I feel and I really believe that that's more like the Bills where they're at, as opposed to what we saw last week, which was just completely and fully out of character, you know, on both sides of the ball.
Absolutely.
So there is that, you know. No, if there is a silver lining, I think that's definitely part of it. There were questions coming in, obviously, with the weather. Would the weather play a factor? Is 50 degrees, 48% chance of showers, and 7 miles per hour in the wind? You know, would the Bills learn from last week's game? And if so, how? You know, when they didn't attack the poor run defense of the Titans quite the way that they maybe could have. The Bills had Zach Moss back, joining Devin Singletary in the backfield. T.J. Yeldon, who looked good last week, was inactive for this game, but we saw what Isaiah McKenzie was able to do out of the backfield last game. Wondered if, you know, we might see some more of that. And, of course, we know what Allen can do with his legs if given the opportunities. Big boy, big body guy, tough to take down. And the Chiefs also, going into the game, were allowing the fourth most yards per game to the run, letting teams compile up to 157.6 yards per game on the ground against them.
Yeah.
And so that was something that, you know, thinking about last week's game, thinking about going into this game, would the run be a factor? Another interesting tidbit was that the Chiefs were allowing the fourth most yards per game. So that detail there, you know, that they're in the top of the league for giving up yards on the ground. Since 2018 passing, this is also interesting. Since 2018 passing 20 yards plus downfield, Mahomes is the NFL high 25 passing touchdown leader. The Bills, however, their defense, which there has been some concern and some comments about, zero passing touchdowns allowed prior to this game, 20 yards downfield. That was kind of like a unstoppable force meets an immovable object type of stat going into this game. And so, you know, there were questions about, hey, would they attack the passing game the way the Raiders did last week? You're in the rain, so that affects that. And would they attack the Chiefs on the ground, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I don't know what it is. Like, everybody, I keep hearing all the time, and honestly, a couple of weeks ago, it was certainly without question, you know, Brian Daboll, head coaching candidate, future head coaching candidate. And I'm just not seeing it. I'm not seeing it. This game was close through and through, I think, and within reason. And we look at the way Kansas City played tonight, right? Kansas City is a passing machine, right? That's their MO. Patrick Mahomes, the big $400, $500 million man with the, you know, with his amazing arm, just making, you know, big time passes. And Kansas City, that wasn't Kansas City's focal point throughout. It was very balanced. And if not, I think they rushed more than they have all season. I'm not sure the exact numbers on that. You know, I don't get why Dable, why this continues to be an issue and why they continue to, you know, not reinforce the run. I mean, looking at these numbers, which we're going to talk about a little bit later, and it's abysmal. I mean, you're not doing Josh Allen any favors when you can't get the ball going on the ground. I don't know. I'm not sure if it's offensive line issues. I'm not sure what's it, but this is supposed to be this valuable 1-2, you know, punch. And one of the best in the league is supposed to be coming into the season, and we're just not seeing it. I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. People, you know, there's a lot of high vet, and I don't know. I don't want to knock the players, because again, I'm not in their shoes. I've never earned an NFL game check in my life. And I obviously will never will. But you know, Devin Singletary and Zach Moss, these very highly touted running backs, are getting like nothing going. You know, you started to see some, they chuck away a little bit, and then it's just all passing. And obviously, you know, the Bills offense trying to rely too heavily, I think, on Josh Allen's arm. And it just was not working tonight either. You know, it's just some embarrassing, you know, I wasn't fond of the play calling. I have to admit that. That's probably been one of my bigger issues the last couple of weeks, is the play calling. And, you know, this run game, you know, it's legitimately baffling. That's football 101. Run game opens up pass game. Not, hey, let's pass, and we'll throw a run in there every now and then. But there is some concern for the play calling, in my personal opinion.
We definitely saw that a lot last week. Remember, we talked about that quite a bit. And
the first drive was weird. They tried it just two, right? It was just two up the gut. And then, and then an interception happened.
I will say this, and I do feel a little bit differently about the play calling, but I will say this. The two times that it caught my eye the most that they improved on that was in the first half, going to the run game, going to the wildcat, attacking the edges, letting Allen run the ball, Singletary getting first downs, and even Zach Moss breaking through a bit. Now, why it is we didn't see as much of that in the second half, I couldn't tell you. I couldn't say. So I'm with you on that, as far as maybe wondering a bit about that in the second half. But I am deeply encouraged by what I saw in the first half when they were having trouble throwing the ball. It was a little slick in the rain. And you know what? Allen was still able to throw passes, but some of the receivers were having trouble catching the ball, which those drops, we talked about that recently, that those drops can come back to haunt you later. But
certainly.
Yeah, I mean, there definitely were some drops on those first couple drives. But you know, the willingness to switch to the run game, go after and attack the edges, like I said, it looked good. I'm not sure what, you know, why that wasn't as active necessarily in the offense in the second half. But when they did it in the first half, it looked great, and it was great to see the Bills run game, arguably for the first time this season, look the way that way. And then also the last Bills scoring drive, which I know we're going to get to in a little bit, they executed that, looked like the Bills offense we've grown to know and love in this season.
It did.
Where they just charged down the field and scored. That's the offense that we've grown accustomed to in a very short time with our brand new receiving core. And so I think if we had a healthy John Brown, that game would have looked a little different. But yeah, I get what you're saying. And I think that this hopefully will be something they can build on as far as the run game and the pass game balancing out the way that can get us wins in situations like this in the future. You mentioned Patrick Mahomes also, Matt. You know, everybody understandably in kind of the press and the media sort of oohs and ahs about Patrick Mahomes, but I do also want to pay him, you know, his due. But the Chiefs defense, I mean, you know, if you look at the scores from their games, the offense isn't racking up like, you know, big 40, 50 scores like they did on teams a couple seasons ago.
No.
But they are finding ways to win, and they are showing up when they need to. Mahomes, this is interesting. Going into this game, ESPN did a quarterback comparison to Mahomes to Allen. which obviously this is a team game. These are team wins, they're team losses. And so there's only so much you can really compare between quarterbacks playing one another because they're not competing against one another. They're competing against their team's defenses. However, it is worth noting out that prior to this game and that quarterback comparison, completions, Mahomes, 63.7% to Josh Allen, 69.3%. Okay. Yards passing. Mahomes, 1,474 to Josh Allen's 1,589. And touchdowns to interceptions, 13-1 on Mahomes versus Allen's 14-3. And I'll tell you what, we mentioned it last week that only that second pick that Allen threw was a legitimate interception. That one he threw late in the game today was too. But if you take into account that bogus call against the Rams and then that toss that, you know, that jump ball, that tipped ball in the Titans game, just, you know, for posterity, you could factor in that what would be a total of four picks now would only really be two as far as execution goes. So there's that. And then also rushing touchdowns. Allen had three to Mahomes two. So in these categories prior to the game, Allen actually has had a better performance this season.
No, without a doubt. And trust me, I want to make this very clear. You know, in the past, I've been certainly iffy about, Josh Allen, but this year I have no doubts in his ability. I want to reinforce that strongly. I certainly don't. I don't blame him for the, like I said, I certainly don't blame him for some of these losses and some of these mistakes that have been made. Josh Allen is, you know, the real deal in my personal opinion. You can definitely see there are some factors that are straining that, but he is playing at a very, very high and in good level, even despite the way the last two games have kind of came about. But I do want to acknowledge this too. Again, I know last week I said, you know, to Bills fans, don't freak out. Like it's one game. I can't say enough that this is another one. It's like, you can't freak out. Okay. I was worried about looking on Twitter. Some people were like kind of losing their mind a little bit. Others, you know, not so much, but it's like, you guys just went toe to toe with the defending Super Bowl champions and you kind of held your own. I mean, a few things went wrong, obviously, but it's just a game. There's a very good chance that these two teams could see each other in the postseason. If you consider all things considered, the last 2 weeks, the Titans and the Chiefs, who are probably the class of the conference, right? Well, at least some of the upper echelon. We know Kansas City is. Titans are 5-0 right now. And I know there's some other very talented teams at the top of the AFC. But, Buffalo, you guys, they hung tight. They hung tight. And it's literally, as great as it would have been for us to be celebrating a victory over the defending Super Bowl champions, it is not the end of the world. This is not exactly when you want to beat these guys either, right? Say you beat them here. You beat Buffalo beats them in this game in the regular season. And I understand wins are important. Everybody wants that, you know, that first round bye, which only comes to the number one seed as soon as this year. And you'll blow it in the playoffs. You know, that went against Casey, tonight, it wouldn't have really truly mattered. So the most important thing is to beat these teams when it counts, you know, go into Tennessee this year in the postseason and beat them. All right. Go into Kansas City this year and beat them. You know, we're 6 weeks of football. There's still so much football left to go. Right. What are we at? So probably 10 games, right? Yeah, it would be 10 games at this point. And there is plenty of time to kind of recover, recoup, figure out what went wrong, get this, you know, get things on track the way they need to be. This team, that there's a light at the end of this tunnel for this team. And I'm not just sitting here trying to feed you optimism because I'm trying to appease you, the listeners. It's just the fact. It's not the end of the world. Everybody likes to overreact after games. Lose their mind. Oh, it's it. This team is going 7-9, 8-8. Not going to win the division. You see the rest of this division?
Yeah. you know? We got us in the NFC East, right? I mean, we both have divisions that are wide open.
Yeah.
You know, right now, Miami looks like the biggest threat, and they're in a transitionary year. They just drafted the quarterback of their future. And they got some Fitzmagic going for them right now.
But, they certainly do. Yeah. Magic. 3-3. They almost beat, I think they lost within a touchdown to everybody they've lost to. Buffalo, yeah, Seattle, and the Patriots included, maybe a little bit more for the Patriots, but yeah, the Patriots really not looking up to snuff, you know, the Jets, there's so much opportunity, and yeah, just cannot preach enough. Stop overreacting. Stop overreacting. I can't say it enough.
We have several of those division matchups coming up. We have a couple more, you know, we have a few more tough matchups on that schedule as well. And so, you know, something we've talked about in recent weeks are some of the point percentages. You know, the Chiefs beat the Bills 26-17 today in a game that there were a few points that looked like we could have gotten a shot, okay? Yeah. A shot at competing for the win. And I'm sure we'll talk more about that when we get into the breakdown by quarters. But prior to the loss to the Titans, the Bills allowed 25 points to opponents. And you know what? The Chiefs' final score reflects that. And again, because there's been a lot of questions about the defense, I want to point that out, that we've been consistent in that area. So as the defense gets going, which it looked like today, and yes, there were times where that offense broke loose, that high-scoring offense kind of broke through. But I noticed that they were putting pressure in the pocket. I noticed that the defense was looking better. You know, whether or not that's something that will continue to progress, hopefully it will. But that was encouraging. That was a good sign. But yeah, they also held the Raiders, who scored 40, put up 40 on the Chiefs to 23 points. So, you know, there is something to be said about the defense holding that score. So we know what the offense needs to score more than, is my point, you know, to usually
right.
to plan on winning, right? The Chiefs through their first four games held opponents to under 20 points, which they did again today. And are allowing 22 points on average. And again, I just want to say the Chiefs defense is the unsung hero of that team. They've been very good the last couple seasons.
Very well coached.
Mahomes gets a lot of the credit, but they're definitely the unsung hero there. And there were questions about how the Bills defense would play again today, being without Matt Milano another week. And they even shook things up on D before the game, scratching Trent Murphy and Harrison Phillips and opting for defensive end Brian Cox Jr. and defensive tackle Justin Zimmer. So I was actually like seeing the run game come alive. I was pretty happy with the way the Bills defense played. Not to say that there isn't room for improvement. All I mean to say is that this may have been some of the more consistent plays, just watching how they've defended the Chiefs and the weather by the Bills defense. So hopefully that's something that will continue to get stronger, continue to put pressure on the pocket and on the passer as well, because we did see, you know, what the Raiders did in limiting Mahomes' time on the field last week and how that helped them get a win by not giving him time to stage that comeback. We also saw what the Bucs were able to do against a Green Bay team this weekend by disrupting a superior quarterback and the advantages that gave them in getting and keeping a lead and not giving them a chance to compete. So so those are all things that stood out to me, and definitely some things to feel positive about, I think, in seeing the run game in the first half, the defense over the course of the game. Unfortunately, at the end, you know, we saw the same things kind of come back from last week that were costly, the penalties and turnovers. But, you know, seeing that at the end of the game as opposed to over the course of an entire game, again, a positive sign that they can hopefully build on going into next week.
I certainly hope so. I mean, they have the perfect opponent to kind of let loose and you know, try some things and really, like, that's like the perfect way to kind of coast back into, you know, the remainder of their schedule, honestly. I mean, they still have a bye week and all that stuff, but you know, to go from Titans and KC to the Jets, it'll be good to build some confidence, much needed confidence back up in this team. But But yeah, I agree with all your points. You know, it definitely came off as an improvement. If you look at the big picture from today's game, it definitely came off as an improvement from the performance against Tennessee. It certainly did. But without further ado, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I was just saying two Chiefs fumbles. I mean, they caused two. One of them, you know, they determined a knee was down before the fumble.
Yeah.
But it's good to see little things like that are signs of the Bills defense coming alive and looking a little bit more like the defense we're accustomed to.
No, for sure. For sure. Let's head on to the drive summary for this game. We're going to take a look at every little drive from the game. Starting off with the first quarter, we had that very rough looking opening drive. Bills going 0 yards on three plays and punting it away. Josh Allen missing Cole Beasley. John Brown, I know this is a talking point and wanted to discuss a little bit today. He didn't look healthy. Let's just say that. He didn't look like he was truly ready to be back on the field today. And that concerns me a little bit. I appreciate the effort, but maybe sitting him out until the Jets game, you know, would have been bad. Because he limped. He was limping right off. I'm not sure what they've seen before the game, but he was limping. And I'm like, ooh, that's, you kind of need your legs to be a good, you know, as a wide receiver, you kind of need those to be able to play and perform well. Yeah, two misses to John Brown, and the Buffalo Bills punted it away. Next drive, Kansas City gets it. They go 33 yards. It was a pretty, you know, 33 yards on eight plays. And honestly, it was a decent showing. We got to see, you know, even Patrick Mahomes was struggling with this weather a little bit. And, you know, yeah, he hit Tyreek Hill for a little thing. He hit, let's see, who else? Williams, he hit him a little bit, or no, he took off for a run, but you know, this, I was like, okay, this Bills defense isn't going to let Mahomes just kind of throw all over them tonight. Like I was probably more so impressed with the secondary today, if anything, a little bit more impressed with the secondary today than the, you know, the front seven. So, I'm going to give them kudos, you know, through and through. Obviously we're going to get to some more things, but obviously they forced it. They forced the Kansas City to punt, which is a big deal. You know, it doesn't happen very often. You know, we all know we talked about this world beating Kansas City Chiefs team. They haven't been like the grit. They haven't been up to, you know, what we've expected this season, but regardless, it's a bright spot for this defense that has struggled this year. Most certainly. Bills get the ball back. They travel 38 yards and 11 plays. Use a little bit of Devin Singletary. Josh Allen takes off a little bit. Isaiah McKenzie gets a little short pass, and Singletary breaks off for a 10-yard run. And you know, this goes back to you saying how much they use it in the first half. I'm like, okay, Brian Daboll, you're starting to utilize this run. You kind of get it, and it's helping them move the chains. There was a point because we doing the player of the week today. I was like, oh man. Devin Singletary had a good half. What's he looking like now? And I was like, oh, I cannot put him as a player of the week because his production just kind of really dropped off. But the fact that he was breaking off 10-yard runs in big gains, it speaks volumes. And, you know, it's encouraging. You like to think that they're going to explore that more going forward.
I did like seeing Allen run for a first down or two, seeing Singletary hitting the edge and breaking through the defense and just coming alive, just getting the run game going. And like I said, maybe I'm glad that they felt comfortable passing in the second half, you know, because in the first we saw how the weather affected that a little bit. I do wish we could have kept that around maybe a little bit more. But it was good to see. We also, you and I talked about this last week. We saw how Allen keeps plays alive in the pocket with his feet. I know that there's a lot of chatter about Mahomes and kind of this new generation of guys that can kind of move their feet like a Madden game.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's impressive. It's incredible how they keep games alive that way. But the idea that somehow the prototype of a quarterback is shifting entirely and exclusively.
Isn't it amazing?
To smaller guys like that. Look, we're seeing what that hybrid you know, passing running quarterback can look like. And that's beautiful. I mean, it's really incredible to see, but that doesn't mean that big guys like Allen can't do it. And he's proving that, you know, he's kind of showing them, hey, look, the prototypical quarterback just evolves and adapts. It's not just, you know, dead in the water just because you kind of have a new version of that. Although we are seeing what, you know, the poster child for that and Russell Wilson is accomplishing. Also, season long for Tyler Bass.
Yeah. Big really boot. Great. Especially in the rain too. Yards. All things considered, yeah. In the rain, that's a big deal. Good for him. Good for Tyler Bass.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So in the first quarter, that's the stuff that really jumped out at me. That's the stuff that really got my attention. You know, second quarter, you know, they continued with the run game. On the drive before the score, we saw 2 passes, 8 runs on their drive, you know, paying dividends with some wildcat offense. You know, that pass interference call that Diggs got on that first one of the game. I'm really glad he got that. I'm really glad he got, I think, another one later in the game, if I'm not mistaken, because do you remember I think it was in the first quarter, Allen threw a deep ball to him in the end zone that appeared in real time to be just maybe out of his reach, you know, running.
There's a little tug,
On the replay, the defender held his arm. Yeah. I mean, they showed the replay again in slow-mo. Defender held his arm and there was a no call on that. So I was really glad that they started, the officials started kind of catching on some stuff like that and making some calls along those lines throughout the rest of the game.
Yeah, that was a tough one. There were a couple. I mean, that was one of the reasons why I ended up giving Diggs like the nod, because he did play so good, and there were a couple, you know, big time plays that were just taken away from him, by defensive penalties on the Kansas City Chiefs. He was great. He was fun to watch today. You could definitely tell he's been probably the most consistent piece on this offense, in my personal opinion. Boom. Okay. Next drive after the Tyler Bass field goal, we get the first touchdown of the game. Pat Mahomes hitting Travis Kelce for 11 yards to break the score 7-3. They went 75 yards on 5 plays, but fortunately the Bills answered back. I'm like, okay, all right, let's go Buffalo. They answer back strong. This is the drive they score their first touchdown, and this is their first second lead of the day. They go 51 yards on 13 plays. Heavy, you
what
know.
A pass,
what's
what
that?
I said, what a pass, too, on that touchdown. You know, they didn't even talk about it. You'd think that the commentators, you know, the broadcasters would really – I mean, that was an Aaron Rodgers-like thread of the needle on the very edge of the end zone to Diggs. That was beautiful, man. That was a pro play from snap to throw to completion. So, you know, we got to see a lot of stuff like that in the first 4 games, and it's good to see them starting to make plays like that again.
No, certainly. I'm actually watching the replay right now. Yeah, and beautiful. Oh, look at that. He's running out to the side. Bam. That's yeah, I think Aaron Rodgers is that's a Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes type kind of throw. Very tight window, and that's what you want. That's what you want from your quarterback. That's the kind of stuff you want from your quarterback. That was a beautiful pass. It's refreshing to see that in Buffalo. It really is.
Had a long time.
I don't want to talk about it. Yeah, second quarter. Yeah, Tyrod would have underthrew that or overthrew it. It wouldn't have been that perfect. That's a story for another day. Second quarter kicks off. Kansas City answers with another touchdown. So I'm like, okay, here we go. I thought this was going to be a high-scoring game kind of going into it, and this is where I'm like, okay, the wheels are starting to turn. Things are going to get exciting. They go 85 yards on 12 plays, and Travis Kelce with another hauled in touchdown, but it missed extra point, keeping the game within a field goal, but the Chiefs up 13-10. Next drive, Buffalo, 11 yards on 8 plays. he had a break with the illegal use of hands and illegal contact, and they got some breaks as far as that, but the Kansas City defense really, really tightened up here, and Devin Singletary took a couple bad losses, yard losses here. Excuse me. But ultimately ends up in a punt. Next drive, though, this is going, yeah, this is going right towards the end of the second quarter, end of the first half. Kansas City's starting to go a little bit. They're running short on time. They're rushing some stuff. And Travis Kelce fumbles, and the Bills get the ball back with, I think, a few. Yeah, right. It was pretty neat. I was like, okay.
I was so happy. Matt, you remember, you've been listening to me talk about that for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Is how much I want to see some turnovers from the Bills defense, because we know they can do it. Because we know that they cause those, whether they pull it down out of the air, you know, pick a pass away from a receiver, or cause a fumble. That's why that Josh Norman, you know, punch ball a couple weeks ago was so refreshing.
It was
because we know the Bills to be capable of these types of things. And it was great because it kept Kansas City. I mean, they had just gotten like right within field goal range when they got that ball loose. And I was a very happy camper. That was very nice.
Yeah, isn't it? Because, you know, like, that's like that, a drive like that is like nothing to Casey. I think they still had their full timeouts too. I think they had like two or three timeouts. They could have made it downfield and possibly get a, you know, field goal and separate a little bit at this point. But that was huge. Travis Kelce doesn't fumble a whole lot either. I forgot what the stat line was. I think over his career, 10 fumbles maybe. And he's been around for a little while too. So, big dude, fantastic player, but yeah, he got caught slipping up, and then the Bills are like, okay, let's try and get the thing, you know, get something moving. Josh Allen, hits Stephon Diggs for a 15 yard gain. He ran right out of bounds with 1 second left. I was like, wow.
Perfect execution. I mean, that was exactly the type of execution on a play like that you'd want to see. And it really set them up to have a shot at tying the game going into the half. And, you know, I'm not even going to say we saw the best and worst of Tyler Bass today, because I don't think we really have seen the worst of Tyler Bass. I think he's a rookie kicker. And just every once in a while, we see that, you know, that lack of experience rear its head. He's kicking into wind today. He booted that 48-yarder earlier right through the uprights. And unfortunately, he wasn't able to capitalize on that big play going into the second half. As you know, I mean, you know, they had that shot with like, I think it was like what, 1 or 3 to 3 seconds left on
one
the
second,
like 1 second left on the clock.
Yep.
At the end of the half after that play, and he could have tied the game. And you know what? This is also worth mentioning, just to, you know, kind of point out the ripple effect of these things. If he makes that field goal, that's a one score game to win at the end. Two score game. So there is that too. That's also something, you know, worth pointing out for future games. But
no, that is true. Like I said, it would have been fantastic if he would have hit that. You know, definitely would have sparked some energy. But the good thing is that the Bills prevented Kansas City from scoring. You know, on top of Kansas City gets the ball to start off the second half, you know, that if they would have scored there, that would have definitely made things even more difficult than they already were today for the Bills. So shout out to the Bills defense for that. A big stop going into halftime. Third quarter, Kansas City goes 29 yards on 8 plays and punts it away, you know,
Stop.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. Stop.
Two big stops, right? The one right before the half, the one coming out of the half. You know, that is where we've seen some inconsistency with the Bills defense, and seeing that starting to get more consistent again, has been huge. You know, both sides of the ball, I thought the Bills were able to steadily chip away and outplay the Chiefs a bit overall on both sides of the ball, in the first half and even kind of going into that third quarter too. If they could keep that going and outlast them, basically, they had a real shot at winning the game.
Oh, no, they most certainly did. I think, what, you know, looking back to, like, as we had it more so into the second half, And I did look at the time of possession, and I could not believe the massive difference between the two. 37-45 for the Chiefs, and then 22-15 for the Bills. You know, that go and run heavy really, I think, it took its toll. That was one of my keys to victory for both teams, is to keep the other great quarterback off the field. And unfortunately, Kansas City just did a better job of it than Buffalo could. You know, and as far as, you know, not giving Josh Allen the time and opportunities, make him, you know, have to hurry up and get a little frantic and whatnot. But yeah, Kansas City executed that greatly. Bills get the ball back. They go 17 yards on 4 plays, punted away. Kansas City, 87 yards on 13 plays, and they score a touchdown to make the score 20-10. With the was it Darren Williams? I can't. They just have Dar. I think it's Darryl Williams. 13 yard off a shotgun, and yeah, he took it to the house. So now it's like, okay, Bills, let's pick it up a little bit. You know, for them to march, I think that was the biggest drive of the game for Kansas City, if I'm not mistaken.
It's also worth mentioning that injury to Cody Ford and how that would go on to play a role potentially in the rest of that game. He went down in that third quarter and was doubtful to return with a knee injury and got replaced. You know, we'd have to probably go back under a microscope to figure out how much it impacted, but it is worth noting the Chiefs' offense seemed to kind of get a little bit more going from that point forward in the game.
No, most certainly did. You know, Bills already had one injury for their offensive line, and, you know, with Quentin Spain and right. You know, to lose Cody Ford too, who's been a staple of this offensive line for enough time now, that's a huge loss, especially against this well-coached Kansas City defense. Bills get the ball back. They go 9 yards on 3 plays and punt it away, unfortunately. There's a penalty on Buffalo. I think that hurt things. Mitch Morse got a false start, and instead of being 3rd and 1, let's see. Oh, I think it got declined. Wait, no, hold on. Oh no, whatever. They just no play, and it was an offsetting. Maybe, I don't know. Whatever. They punted away. That it's it's so confusing.
Either way,
it didn't matter. It didn't matter. It wasn't good for Buffalo. They did. Yeah, they called back 4 yards. But here we go. 4th quarter, Kansas City, 45 yards and 10 plays. Harrison Butker at the end of it nails a 37-yard field goal to make the score 23-10. And Buffalo, 62 yards on 6 plays. Looking at the drive time. I mean, I already acknowledged the time of possession too, but I mean, here we go. Kansas City, 10 plays, 5 minutes, 20 seconds, dragging out. Bills, 6 plays, 2 minutes, 33 seconds. Obviously, the tempo, they have to hurry up at this point. You know what I mean? They're trying to, you know, get things going. But very clearly, you know, the Chiefs are just kind of just moving the ball at will and doing what they want to do at this point.
The defense showed up on that one ensuing drive after the Bills score, but then, you know, the Chiefs kind of started really attacking them for the rest of the 4th quarter. And that scoring drive by the Bills was big. That's the one we were talking about, you know, that looked much more like that trademark 2020 offense we've been seeing. It was great to see that. It was great to see them break out, because I know that they had trouble with that last game, but you know, that was something where it looked like, you know, they might be making a run at it here. And that was definitely encouraging.
For sure. I mean, I'm looking at like that he spread the ball around pretty good, right? He hit Beasley for a big pass, big 22-yard pass before the touchdown hit. Yeah. You know, he hit Diggs a couple times. Gabriel Davis, who's, you know, he's been quiet all night, right? Gabriel Davis is one of these, you know, these are better rookies, and he's been performing well. And this is really the first I've really heard of him. Gabriel Davis not, you know, hasn't had a big show. Especially you would think, too, with John Brown being injured, maybe you see a little bit more of Gabriel Davis. But he clearly was either well-covered or just, you know, I just wasn't game-planned appropriately. But regardless, Bills score, 8-yard touchdown pass, Josh Allen to Cole Beasley. And the extra point is good, making the score 17 to 23. So it's within reach. It's one touchdown. It's a, you know, the Bills can make a stop and get a touchdown. They're back in business. They're back in business, but unfortunately that was not to be. Kansas City, 75 yards on 12 plays, and they end up with a Harrison Butker 30-yard field goal to go 26-17. And, you know, the writing
that
was on
one. That play, that drive, Matt, this is the one thing that jumped out at me that, like, look, I'm not going to cry foul the rest of that game. But that pass down the middle that Mahomes threw to Kelsey, I believe it was, got him a first down and extended that drive.
Oh, Pringle, the 37-yarder.
The ball touched the ground. You could see it on the replay that when he was going down, he had the ball in his hands trying to catch it, but that the bottom nose of the ball touched the ground as he hit the ground, but there was no challenge and no review of the play and no call. You know, there was no call on it. And that could have been a game-changing no call.
Oh, for sure.
Leave it at that. Yeah.
For sure. Was it within the 2 minutes, too? I don't know if it was.
The crazy thing about it is that was like the whole rest of the game. We saw Kansas City charging down the field when they were on offense. Who knows if that would have happened if they'd made that call? You know, who knows what would have happened if they caught that? It would have been more within reach. And again, like the missed field goal, you know, you look back over, hey, what could have impacted our chance at winning that game? That could have impacted our chance of winning that game. Cause if I'm not mistaken, they scored a field goal on that drive.
They did. Yeah. That was the pretty much game sealer for Kansas City, but that'll slow your momentum. You're punting from a lot further back, and yeah, Buffalo has some additional clock ready to go and trying to make something happen. You know, they could have got a touchdown. You know, they get the ball back and it's like, time is tight. Bills still had some time. Actually, Bills had no timeouts when they got the ball back. And yeah, it just was not good. The team just seemed very out of it, very spiritually defeated at this point. Josh Allen, they went 3 yards on two plays, and Allen threw an interception, unfortunately. It was intended for Cole Beasley, and that was kind of it. It was a sad ending to a otherwise very competitive game. Honestly, looking at the score, even though it is a pretty tight score, I feel like the game was a lot closer than the score reveals. I really truly believe that. I do.
Yep. The game wasn't a lock for KC. It looked like the Bills could have won it, you know, throughout most of the game. And we looked good against the defending Super Bowl champions, all things considered. Maybe, you know, still kind of showing our growing pains and areas that we're trying to get a rhythm in, like we talked about last week. And you know, we might have wished we could get that missed field goal back, and we might have even gotten robbed on that incomplete pass, no call. But I think it's a good sign we've bounced back from that loss from the Titans, like you were saying earlier. And, you know, here's my takeaway. The Bills played the game they needed to go toe-to-toe with the best team in football, like you said. They had a real chance to win. They limited the Chiefs' offense and kept the score in game close over three quarters before the Ford injury and the penalties. Then the same way that penalties, turnovers over the course of that last game cost them against Tennessee, it again cost them right at the end of this one, you know, kind of the last little stretch of the game there. A legitimate shot perhaps at Kansas City when they scored that field goal to try and put the game out of reach. We had a minute and a half to score twice. We need clean execution. And all that being said, you know, there's a lot to feel encouraged by, even with some of the messy areas there, the way that the defense showed up a bit and the way the running game showed up are all positives. And, you know, the running game coming alive, that's something that we've wondered about, you know, even whether or not the lack of preseason games was a factor. Like some other things that we've talked about with the defense in that regard as well. And look, this is the team we're chasing in the AFC. We're not the only ones. There's other young up and coming teams like the Ravens and the Browns, you know, for example,
yep.
the Chargers look like they're at least trending in a direction where in the coming years they'll possibly be one of those teams as well. The Raiders, obviously, you know, being in the same division as Kansas City. But for us, for the Buffalo Bills, that's the team we're chasing along with those teams is the Kansas City Chiefs. They're the team to beat, and we looked good and had a good chance to win against them. So while that pick that Allen threw near the end of the game and those penalties kind of sunk it a bit, it's only because we had a real shot to win the game that feels maybe, you know, a little disappointing or discouraging. And again, you know, we make that field goal, maybe that pass that incomplete pass call gets made. Could be having a different conversation. That's all I mean to say. And then of course, like you said, John Brown limping, you know, no catches on 4 targets. You know, he may have been more of a decoy on the field today for coverage than anything else.
Right.
I think with a healthy John Brown, that game could have also been swayed differently. So
most certainly. I agree with a lot of your points. I mean, how good is it now? Here we are in 2020, and you know, it seems like for the first time in forever, the Bills, we aren't chasing a divisional opponent. You know, it's not the Patriots that are ahead of us. We're not just trying to get out of our division. We're talking about conference wide, which, you know, for some people, it's like, oh, that's too small, Super Bowl or bust. But at the same, you know, I kind of look at it like this. I mean, the Bills have been, you know, in it for the better part of the last 2 decades, the basement. And now we are AFC conference like contenders. Here we're chasing another division's, you know, top dog because we're competing at that level. We believe that, you know, the Bills believe and the Bills mafia believes that they can contend with the best that the AFC has to offer. And that's a very good sign, spiritually and morally. I know Sean McDermott mentioned that there are no moral victories, and I do understand that. But in my opinion, as an analyst, he's a head coach. He's got to be hard on his guys. He's got to kind of come off as a no-nonsense guy. But as an analyst, a podcast host that talks about the Bills every week, you know, there's good victories and bad victories. And we've said it a lot, you know, last Titans victory or Titan, or excuse me, good losses and bad losses. And the Titans game was certainly a bad loss, but there is a lot to build off of this going forward, you know, and like we said too, they have the Jets next week. All right, the Jets are probably going to be starting Joe Flacco. And I get it. Any given Sunday, it's dangerously ignorant to kind of come into a game that overconfident, especially against a divisional opponent too. You know, we've lost 2 straight. We're going to be pissed, but you'd hate to be the team that gives the Jets the first victory. Even though I think on paper, there's literally no comparison. But this is a good opportunity for the team to rebound, right? I like to compare it like this, and I wrestled in high school. Our coach, and not that we get to pick this, you know, that not that NFL gets to pick their schedule, but we used to, you know, middle of the season, we used to go to really difficult wrestling tournaments, right? Really difficult. And then just before the postseason hit, you kind of scale it back a little bit. You kind of tone down, and then you climb towards the end. And while it is a little early, again, after this Titans and Chiefs game and some of the opponents that the Bills still have yet to play, you know, still have Seattle, still have Arizona, still have the Patriots twice, you know, who are, you can't count them out. Still have a feisty Miami Dolphins team one more time, amongst others. San Francisco, which isn't just kind of going away. I think this Jets game is coming at the perfect time. And they most certainly need it to kind of get back their bearings and get back to, you know, what brought them this far, brought them to a 4-2 record, which they sit at now, which is a still very considerable start, you know, despite everything. So I'm happy. You know, would have loved to win the last 2 weeks or at least one of the 2 weeks, but I think there's, you know, it's not trying to get cocky, but there's beat them when it counts. Beat them when it counts.
Nope, you're right. You're right. And looking at the schedule, it's no cakewalk. I mean, any one of these teams, you know, we need to prepare for and be ready to play. But every one of those teams is a team that the Buffalo Bills this year can beat. And that's the thing. That's what felt so good about today, and also was bittersweet about today. And what made last week's loss so tough is that this year, and what a great problem to have, Matt, where, like you said, for the first time in a long time, our conversation in these losses isn't about, you know, how the Bills are trying to climb out of the basement of the AFC East or, you know, make headway in the division or even try to get out of the basement of the NFL. It's there is an expectation to win because we know how good this team is.
Yeah.
We know that they're still growing. Josh Allen's still a young quarterback, and it shows in those situations where he gets a little rattled like last week and even at the end of this game. But what we're able to accomplish out there on the field, it makes it so that we can compete against anybody. I mean, the only two teams on the remainder of the schedule that I would say, you know, I look ahead to the same, similar to the way that I looked ahead at the matchup with Kansas City, if I could be perfectly honest, are the Seahawks and the Steelers. And I think every other team is our game to lose. I think every other matchup there is ours to lose. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to win. That doesn't mean they're, you know, don't need to take anything away from those other teams. But looking at where they're at and their progression, looking at where the Bills at are in their progression, I do believe that going into those matchups that the Buffalo Bills are a team to beat. So we'll see how that all pans out. But you make a great point. I think overall we'll need to get these wins over teams like this to take the next step as a team to compete for a Super Bowl. You know, but I'm encouraged by what I saw for the most part out there today. You know, we did see some things rear their ugly head a few times, but otherwise, you know, we looked a lot better, thank God, from last week, and looked like we can beat these teams. And that's a good problem to have.
Absolutely. Yeah. I still just waiting on that statement when, you know, I remember how good Buffalo felt, the fan base felt when the Bills defeated Dallas last year and on that primetime Thanksgiving game.
Yeah, favorite win, by the way, with Josh Allen under center. Signature win for this regime of the Buffalo Bills. When we go into a game like this one, that is the game, that is like my reference model every time is, hey, you know, if we can get that type of a signature game, we can win this game.
Yes. And certainly, you know, where the Bills fans are looking for that one this year. And I think it's still very, very possible. You know, Seattle's a great team and I'm not taking anything away from them, but you know, Miami, look how close Miami kept it with them. Not to say that, you know, we're so much better than Miami. We just match up better and it's a shoe-in, but I think a definite, you know, one of those definitive year defining victories. I can't say defining or some variation of it enough. Is certainly what this fan base needs. I think to realize how good this team really is, you know, so optimism from us, you know, we can only lead you guys to water as far as, you know, lead you horses to water as far as, you know, what we see. If you don't want to drink, we can't make you, but we, it's not the end of the world. It really is.
We've got the matchup with the Jets next, Patriots after that, and then the Seahawks, Cardinals, Chargers, Niners, Steelers before we face the Broncos, the Pats again, and the Finns again. This is what I'm thinking, Matt, is you look at that, right? Next week can be a step back in the right direction and a chance to build confidence going into the matchup against New England. Then we get the Patriots and we get the first look of a reunion matchup between Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean and their former franchise quarterback and Cam Newton.
Yeah.
I'm going to be very interested to see how the Bills and Patriots, when they meet, you know, how that game goes. Cause we're going to get the first look at a Bills team that played real well in that matchup with them the first time last year. And even did okay in the second one, although that wasn't quite as strong. I was at that game.
Oh, were you?
Cool.
Oh,
yeah,
that's cool.
In New England. And, you know, hopefully the Jets and Pats can be steps to kind of build that confidence and strength back up. Going into that matchup with the Seahawks, which is arguably, looking at the remainder of the schedule, arguably may be the toughest matchup we have remaining, if not one of the two toughest ones, or three toughest ones, looking at the Steelers and Niners, depending on, you know, what happens with San Francisco. You know, they've kind of been a little up and down in recent weeks. The Dolphins are going to be tough, it looks like, based on their play, and shouldn't be taken for granted, obviously. The Broncos just defeated the Patriots in a game that they New England may have been favored in. So these are ones to consider. The Steelers, obviously, you know, having Ben Roethlisberger back, and the Chargers, looking at what they're doing. They had a team built to win so much that they tried to sign Tom Brady this offseason. And many wondered how that team would fare not rolling with one of the other free agent quarterback options like Cam Newton.
Right.
If you have a team built to win now, and they drafted the quarterback of their future in Herbert, who apparently the future is now, and is looking very Josh Allen like in his early showings for the Chargers. So each one of those teams will present challenges, but I feel good about our chances going into every one of those matchups for the remainder of the season. And it'll be interesting to see how that all pans out.
For sure. No, Sean McDermott has instilled a nice attitude with this team, and what's the phrase? Just got to believe.
That's right.
But that is a wrap on this episode. David, once again, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate you as always. You've been a wonderful co-host so far. And I legitimately look forward to talking Bills football with you every week after a game. So thank you so much for your time.
Same to you, Matt.
Thank you. For the listeners, make sure you're staying, you know, paying attention to the Bills Wire social media. Our team is hard at work writing articles, creating content for you guys to, you know, read and enjoy. And they deserve your support, you know, very much so. I see what's going on every day. The guys are just constantly just chipping away at presenting to you the best version of Bills news, in my personal and completely unbiased opinion. So make sure you check them out. And that is a wrap on behalf of David and I. Till next time, let's go Buffalo.
There it is.